We've been dreaming about a perfect kitchen, but where do we even start?
The Creative Kitchen Company. We're your complete design build company for custom kitchens and bathrooms. From initial planning to installation, we'll help you realize your vision.
And no surprise fees or endless upselling?
Never. We provide realistic upfront costs and clear communication through our mobile app so you can track every detail. Don't just settle for any kitchen or bathroom. Call us today at 614-971-3448 for a free in-home consultation or visit thecreativekitchenco.com.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor with Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft. We're discussing a moment in the conflict in Ukraine when questions are being asked, and often when these questions are asked, the rhetorical responses, these are hard questions that must be answered. There must be some hard answers. The word hard means not acceptable to one side or the other. So now we come to what the editorial page in the New York Times asks. These are rhetorical questions too, but they suggest a wider conflict than the Donbass battlefield that Dr. Kissinger's referring to in his remarks about partition. And until I read from the New York Times, week passed, but it's being referenced now repeatedly by the Kyiv government. Is the United States trying to help bring an end to this conflict through a settlement that would allow for a sovereign Ukraine and some kind of relationship between the United States and Russia? Or is the United States now trying to weaken Russia permanently? Has the administration's goal shifted to destabilizing Vladimir Putin or having him removed? Does the United States intend to hold Mr. Putin accountable as a war criminal? Or is the goal to try to avoid a wider war? And if so, how does crowing about providing U.S. intelligence to kill Russians and sink one of their ships achieve this? These are very tough questions, Anatole. Can you read the intention of the administration at this point from the point of view of Great Britain and other members of NATO? What is the goal of the Mr. Biden's administration? Because we're pouring major weapon systems into Ukraine.
Well, there is, I think, a lot of confusion about the goals of the Biden administration, because, of course, there have been some very contradictory statements. President Biden, unfortunately, is rather given to making extreme statements, as recently also about Taiwan, which his staff then have to immediately walk back on. So it's not clear, as the New York Times editorial says, just what U.S. intentions are, in fact. And no doubt that is because there are deep divisions within behind the scenes, within the administration itself. From everything that he has previously written and said, it is, for example, very difficult to imagine that William Burns, the head of the CIA, would favor a policy of regime change and driving and complete defeat of Russia. He has always been much more cautious than that. Others within the administration are much more hard line. Britain will do whatever is America says and whatever is in the personal interest of Prime Minister Boris Johnson and the conservative politicians who want to replace him. The wild cards are Germany and France, which are becoming increasingly anxious, though for slightly different reasons, about the wider global implications of all this. France, because it is looking at the prospect of radical destabilization in Western Africa as a result of, above all, a surge in food prices and fuel prices. Germany, because, of course, of the impact on the German economy of a rapid and radical move away from Russian energy. So many of the Europeans would very much like to see clarity from Washington on this, or rather would like Washington, in fact, to make clear that it is not aiming at complete Russian defeat and regime change. If they don't get that, then I think that, well, Kissinger said that we need a peace agreement within the next 2 months. I don't know whether the French and Germans would collect their nerves sufficiently to press for one within 2 months. But certainly if this war goes on into the autumn with the prospect of a very hard winter in Europe, with high energy prices and inflation, then I think one might well see the front of Western unity begin to crumble somewhat.
I mentioned that my learning about Russia's finances and economy these last days suggests that what we're looking at, even at the best case scenario of a ceasefire, is not one but two nations in complete collapse, needing rebuilding over many years. The Russian economy is broken. The sovereign debt is at risk, and there is no easy path forward because of the number of, I think, 1,000 corporations from the West have now left Russia with not making plans to return. However, I don't want to go to the distant future. I want to stay right where we are now. NATO has grown. Has the threat of a NATO-Russian conflict all along this frontier, Baltic to Black Sea, has it grown commensurately?
I don't think necessarily so, because Russia, you know, no matter what people say, Russia has not threatened Finland or Sweden militarily since the end of the Cold War. It just hasn't, nor indeed could it, as I say, given the present state of the Russian armed forces. And when I asked a Finnish military figure earlier this week about Finland's contribution to NATO, and would Finland, send troops to NATO operations outside Finland, he basically replied that, oh no, Finland's contribution to NATO will be to defend Finland, which of course is what Finland is doing already, and which isn't necessary because Russia isn't going to attack Finland. So the whole northward expansion of NATO is, to me, a giant strategic red herring, frankly. But I mean, the big wild card is Poland, because I mean, if NATO and the US go on supplying Ukraine with weapons through Poland, there will obviously be a temptation sooner or later for Russia to launch strikes into Poland. Not so much, I mean, with the excuse of interdicting those communications, but with the real intention of trying to terrify the Europeans into seeking a peace settlement in Ukraine. So that is where the great danger lies. I mean, also, it's an interesting question under international law. Whether, you know, the United States, by providing not just arms but intelligence to Ukraine, and of course also deploying advisors, and is making itself in effect a co-belligerent in that conflict. Because if Americans start being killed in Ukraine, Russia will regard that as totally legitimate. America, of course, will be absolutely outraged. So the room for escalation is just enormous, frankly.
I think that would probably be in Dr. Kissinger's mind when he made the remarks about the status quo ante.
Absolutely.
Anatole Levin of the Quincy Institute for Responsible Statecraft, reflecting upon the rumors of peace. I'm John Bash.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.